Good morning. It's good to be together. It's really good. I was talking to Eric before. It just seems like we're continue like week by week filling out. And being gone the last couple Sundays, it's nice to come back and see like so many all at once. So it's really nice. Well, today I want to take a little bit of time to spend together just exploring some things in the Psalms. That's fun. I don't watch myself preach. You guys have to do that. Makes me feel awkward, so it's a nice. So anyway, well, we're gonna look at the psalm. So I was thinking about my sermons for our Justice series. You know, I was having to do a lot of like big picture work through like vast volumes of scripture and try to condense all that. And so what I want to do, if Tyler said something about what our plans are for the summer, is just not to have a strict series, but give each of us a chance to just share some things that we want to work through off series. And so what I'd like to do for my sermons the next few weeks is just deal with some more stuff, maybe a little bit more on the ground that pertain to our life of faith and our relationships with one another, with others, and some of those things. So for today, I want to particularly think about our relationship with God and look to the Psalms to help us in that and explore the Psalms together. The Psalms are an incredibly rich treasure that God has given us. And if you've never availed yourself to the Psalms, I cannot commend them to you heartily enough. The Psalms give so much voice to our emotions, the various things that we experience, our fears, our doubts, our angers, our anxieties, our shame, feelings of loneliness, right? All those things that we sort of trudge through, but also our joys, the awe that we experience, various levels of appreciation. Psalms meet us in the extreme highs of life as well as the extreme lows. And meet us everywhere in between, right? And in all these things, what the Psalms are doing is teaching us to turn to God in these various experiences, in these various circumstances of life, to direct our hearts towards God, to do so in prayer and in song, in trust, in praise. What we'll see is these Psalms contain so many remarkable and beautiful expressions of trust and praise. Beautiful statements of personal commitment to God and personal dependence upon God. And that's what I want to focus on this morning in particular, those statements of trust and praise. And these are the "you are my" statements. When we pray to God and say, "You are my," fill in the blank, "the Lord is my" statements. And so want to take a little bit of time together just to hear several of these, and then we'll step back and kind of reflect on them together. I'm gonna be moving all across the Psalter, so it's probably less edifying for you to try to follow along and keep up. But just hear, right? I'll try to read through these slowly and pray through these slowly, so that we can hear them and kind of savor them. But then you're not just spending your energy flipping the whole time. But we can actually try to take these things, okay? So these are all expressions of faith and praise that we read about in the Psalms. The first is from Psalm 3, what Ryan read for us. And he think about the way he read, capturing so much of the emotion that's in that psalm. But as the psalm opens up and he's describing his circumstances, "Many have surrounded me, many are rising up against me." But verse 3, it says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me. You, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head." Surrounded by enemies who would threaten his life, on the run for his life, he says, "You're my shield." Feeling, no doubt, mountains of shame because of his sin that's led to this problem with Absalom, right? "You are my glory. You are the one who lifts up my head." Psalm 16. Psalm 16 is a psalm that is just full of incredible statements of confidence, of devotion to God. There's a single petition. It's in the opening line, "Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you." Right? David's in this life and death situation. "Save me." But the rest of the psalm is just enraptured with statements of dependence and of commitment. So he says in verse 2, "You are my Lord. I have no good beside you." Think about saying that. I have no good beside you. There's lots of things that we might acknowledge in life as good, but David says, I have no good. What do you say? No ultimate good besides you. He says a little bit later in the same song, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup." You think about the significance of the inheritance to the people of Israel, right? The land that they would received from God, right? It's not just for us, you know, a relative dies and we get a little bit of the inheritance. For them, it was identity. It was legacy. It was so much. And yet he's saying, "The Lord is my portion, is the portion of my inheritance and my cup." Psalm 18, this is a psalm of thanksgiving. David's just experienced relief from the hand of all his enemies and from Saul. And listen to what he says about God. He says, "I love you, O Lord, my strength." Says God, "my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation." You're my defense and you're my offense, right? You're the horn of my salvation. You're the one, again, who gives me confidence and strength and power. You're my stronghold. Famously, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Right? You think about how he's describing God as his shepherd, the one who is gentle and tender and protects him and provides for him, and yet is this fierce warrior who would defend him from the lions and the bears, right? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Psalm 27, a psalm that we actually sing. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" The Lord, hear that again. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread?" Then in the next psalm, "Yahweh, the Lord is my strength and my shield." Strength and shield again. "My heart trusts in him. I am helped. Therefore my heart exults," right? Because he knows God is his strength and his shield, he's even able in these circumstances to exult. "My heart exults, and with my song I shall thank him. For you are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake you'll lead me and guide me." Psalm 31. "You'll pull me out of the net which they've secretly laid for me, for you are my strength." Psalm 38. "Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation." They're still turning. I'm hearing turning, by the way. I'm not going to call any particular person out. But you can relax, all right? Psalm 40. "Since I'm afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God," right? "My help, my deliverer, my God." Psalm 43, "Then I will go to the altar of God, to God who is my exceeding joy, and upon the lyre I'll praise you, O God, my God." Think about that phrase, "to God who is my exceeding joy." Do we even talk like that when we think about like things going well for us? That we would have exceeding joy, let alone that it's God himself who is our exceeding joy. Psalm 54, "Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the sustainer of my soul." Who is God? He's the sustainer of my soul. "My strength I will watch for you, for God is my stronghold." Psalm 59. Later in the same psalm, "But as for me, I'll sing of your strength. Yes, I'll joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning. For you have been my stronghold and a refuge in the day of my distress." Psalm 59, verse 17. "O my strength, I'll sing praises to you, for God is my stronghold," again, "the God of my loving kindness." Psalm 62. Listen to this. "He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will not be greatly shaken." And in case we didn't hear it the first time, in the same psalm, in the next verse 6, he says the same thing. "He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will not be shaken. Verse 7, on God my salvation, my glory rest or depend. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Psalm 63, you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy, right? You picture the mother bird that just folds the chicks under her wing. He says, that's who you are to me, God. You have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. Psalm 70, I am afflicted and needy. Hasten to me, O God, for you are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. Psalm 71, be to me a rock of habitation. Right? Be to me a rock of habitation. Right? What's he saying there? This place of security and strength where I can live and dwell in that security and strength. Be to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. You have given commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Psalm 71 and verse 5. You are my hope, O Lord God. You are my confidence from my youth. I've become a marvel to many, for you are my strong refuge. Psalm 73. My flesh and my heart fail. Can we say that? My flesh and my heart fail. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Hear that one again. My heart and my flesh fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. The nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Psalm 94, but the Lord has been my stronghold, my God, the rock of my refuge. Psalm 118, the Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. A little later in the same song, I'll give thanks to you, for you've answered me, and you have become my salvation. You are my God, and I'll give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Those last three are likely from one of the psalms Jesus sung on the night before his death. Psalm 144, blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle, my loving kindness, my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I take refuge, who subdues peoples under me. Psalm 145, I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. And finally, Psalm 146, I will praise the Lord while I live. I'll sing praises to my God while I have my being. Okay? So think about what we've just heard. All these phrases, the Lord is, you are. What we've heard is my shield, my glory, my inheritance, my cup, my strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my shepherd, my light, my salvation, the defense of my life, my help, my helper, my exceeding joy, the sustainer of my soul, my refuge, my hope, my confidence, my strong refuge, the strength of my heart, my portion, my good, my song, my loving kindness, my God. Beautiful. Rich images of trust and praise. You think about all these different images we're seeing. We're seeing images of safety and security as well as success. We're seeing images of protection, provision, prosperity, of comfort on one hand, of confidence on the other. Images that describe a physical well-being, mental well-being, emotional well-being. Images of meeting of basic human needs, as well as incredible rich abundance. And all these images are depicting things that we trust in, that we depend on, that we rely in, that we run to, that we live for, that we turn to. These are all personal images. Think about how personal these statements are. We need to hear different things at different times. Sometimes we need to see ourselves as a part of something bigger than ourselves, and see our identity as a part of the people of God. That's why the Lord teaches us to pray, "Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not..." Right? What he's teaching us to pray in that prayer is praying as a part of the people of God, in the community, in the family of God. And so times we need to hear that. Other times we need to hear what we're seeing in these Psalms. We need to be aware of our own individual and personal value and worth and priority, the ways in which God loves each of us individually and cares for us and protects and provides for us each individually. That's exactly what we're seeing in these expressions of confidence and trust and praise. These are all expressions of personal devotion and personal relationship. The Lord is not just a light, not even the light, but the Lord is my light. The Lord is my light. The Lord is not just a shepherd, but the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is not just a rock or the rock. The Lord is my rock. Okay, so they're beautiful images, they're personal images, but they're all God-centered and God-saturated images. Notice, it's not just that the Lord gives these things, right? The Lord is these things. It's not just that the Lord is the source of blessing. He is very much the source of blessing, but He is also the blessing. The Lord is the giver and the gift, and especially the gift, right? He's not saying, the Lord gives me light, the Lord is my light. What a shield means for a warrior in battle, right? You can picture David going to battle, carrying his shield with him. What a shield was for him in battle, the Lord Himself is, and even more so. What light is for those afraid and alone in the dark, the Lord Himself is, and even more so. What glory, reputation, or image I can achieve on my own, the Lord Himself is, and even more so. What prosperity I can achieve on my own efforts. What success I can achieve on my own efforts. The Lord Himself is, and even more so. What pleasure I find in life. All my joy and all my pleasure. The Lord Himself is, and even more so. So let's sort of take then what we're seeing and try to think through this in our own terms. Let's try this. The Lord is my fill in the blank. Okay, so each of you be doing this as we think. What are the things that you pursue? What are the things you're seeking and devoting yourself to? What do you put your trust in? What do you turn to for comfort, for escape? What are those things you find pleasure and joy in? Right? We might say from a security perspective, bank account. Right? Is there some trust in the fact that we've got money in the bank? Right? My wealth, my investment portfolio, my IRA or 401k, right? What about those steps of success, right? My GPA, right? Depending on that good GPA, my diploma, my resume, my portfolio, my career, my promotions. What about those who experience sickness? My doctor, my medicine, my hospital. Or you think about those day-to-day things we may just lean on or turn to for some comfort or escape or just to get us through. My cup of coffee, my bowl of ice cream before bed, right? There are too many spouses slapping each other on that one. What about socially? Likes on my social media post. Comments on my social media post. Now, again, I'm not saying any of those things in any sort of pejorative way, right? I'm not saying don't do any of those, right? Like, no, I'm just saying look at just naturally how we live our lives. These are all things that we interact with. You know, maybe you don't eat ice cream before bed, but you know, like we recognize, okay, these are all things that are just a part of our life, things that we can trust in or seek after or live for or do whatever, right? That's just part of life. And notice this language here that we're seeing in the Psalms doesn't negate functional wisdom or the practical need for these things. So it's not like David would say, the Lord is my rock, okay? And then because the Lord is his rock, he's going to go out in the middle of an open field and just sit there and say, God's going to protect me. I don't need to go to the rock, right? I don't need to flee to this high place of refuge and safety in battle. I can go out to this indefensible place and just sit there because the Lord... No, that's not what he's saying. He's not saying, the Lord is my shield, and then leave his shield at home when he goes out to battle and just say, God's my shield today. I don't need... No. Right, we recognize that, right? So what David's getting at here is he's recognizing when he says the Lord is my rock, the Lord is my shield, he's recognizing the ultimate source of protection and provision, the ultimate object of trust and devotion and confidence. So likewise, we can say the Lord is my investment portfolio and still invest as a good steward to build wealth and save for retirement, right? We can say, the Lord is my doctor and my medicine, and still go to the doctor and still take medicine, right? Because again, what we're saying when we say these things is we're recognizing the ultimate source of protection and provision, the ultimate object of trust, devotion, and confidence. But when you think about all these different things I listed and tried to, you know, hit some of the parameters, but by no means an exhaustive list, but whatever we see in all these things, what we're searching for is God Himself. Right? In all these different things in life, what we are searching for, what we need most is God Himself. Whatever fundamental, deep down security and provision we're seeking in our retirement account, that can ultimately only come from God and through God. Whatever fundamental, deep down comfort or pleasure that we're seeking from that cup of coffee or bowl of ice cream, God alone can provide. Right? We recognize that. I know we laugh when I said bowl of ice cream, but really put yourself there, right? There's something we're wanting beyond just that bowl of ice cream, right? There's something we're wanting when we rely on that cup of coffee. And what David's getting us to see is that's God. What we're searching for is God. Whatever fundamental sense of value or honor or worth or validation we're seeking through social media posts or likes, God alone can provide, right? Man, we want to see those little hearts, just the numbers creep up and the likes to creep up, and we want that validation and that input and all that sort of stuff. But what we're searching for there, what we're seeking and groping for in that validation is something that God alone can provide. And sometimes we turn to even more obvious destructive practices for validation and escape. Pornography, sex, drugs, alcohol, partying. And whatever we're seeking and groping for when we give ourselves to these enslaving, degrading vices, again, deep down, what are we searching for? Something that can only be found in God alone. And again, not just something God gives, but God Himself. We're all seeking something, right? We're all searching for something, living for something, whether it's relationship, validation, respect, love, prosperity, escape, comfort, right? We're searching for all these things. Whatever it is, that seeking, that searching, that groping is searching for something that can only be found ultimately in God first. We're searching for God Himself. We're created for relationship with our Creator. We are made in the image of God, made for His good purpose and for close personal fellowship. And so our heart can only know peace and joy when we know Him, when we know God and trust Him with all that we are. When we see Him not just as a light, but as my light. My light. When we see Him not just as a source of blessing, but Himself as the blessing. So I'm going to give you all some homework. Okay? I told you I'd do this from time to time. really encourage you sometime this week to just, you know, whether you have your normal space carved out for prayer and Bible reading, or you don't have that at all, find some time to just be still and be quiet and be in the presence of God and pray, be prayerful, wrestle, struggle, like really grind down and thinking through all these things. And again, wrestle in prayer, struggle, grope, however you think about that searching we're doing as you evaluate life and all these different things, and be able to fill in this blank for yourself personally. Right? The Lord is my fill in the blank. What would you put there? We recognize David's going out to battle. The Lord's my shield. So that's perfect. But when we think about what we're searching for, what we're wanting, what we're giving ourselves to, what where all our energy's going, it's God. That's God. So what is that thing for you, or that many things for you, that you would say, the Lord is my... All right, let's pray together. Father, we praise you for your great love for us. You alone are our source of all joy and peace and comfort and security, our strength. You truly protect us. You provide for us. And when our hearts are given to idolatry or just weakness, you're so patient and gracious and kind. Father, thank you for wanting to be in relationship with us, wanting to adopt us as your sons and daughters, that we can cry out to you as our Father, that we can come to you with confidence, that we can rely on you for anything and everything, that we can have true, substantial hope, and not just wishful thinking or optimism, but to truly hope in life, to have true joy, not a delayed joy, but true joy in what you have given us and what you will give us, what you've done for us, what you will do for us, and ultimately in you personally. Father, help us all. Please let us know you. Draw us near to you and close to you, and may we truly put all our trust, our confidence, our hope, our longing in you. We love you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, amen.